Welcome to Live the Fuel.
Welcome to Live
Welcome
the Fuel.
To Live the Fuel. Focusing on health, business, and lifestyle. And now your host, Scott Mulvaney.
All right, good day and good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to another Live the Fuel show. So this evening, as I'm recording this new episode for you, I have finally tracked down a gentleman that I have talked about many, many times on this show. You guys have actually had 16 prior episodes of powerful, powerful co-hosts. All 16 of them are people that I have met at a very powerful event from San Diego last year. So if you're a newer listener, this is a new event, well, for you, new event for me as far as going to Las Vegas this year. The gentleman we're speaking to founded it, going on as of this year, 3 years ago. And it's about making money matter. So without further ado, I want to bring him on. I want to help you hear his story and his backdrop and why he created Thrive Make Money Matter. Welcome to the show, Cole Hatter.
Thanks, bro. Excited to be here, man. This is going to be fun.
It's definitely going to be fun. As I was hinting to our listeners, man, like I've literally aired 16 episodes. Most recently, our buddy, John Spencer Ellis.
Nice. A little GSE or JSE, excuse me. Yeah, oh, that's crazy, man. You've had 16 Thrivers on this. You should call this like the Thrive Tribe podcast or something.
Actually, it's funny because Ellery Wells, he mentioned the same thing. Our boy PJ Dixon. I mean, PJ, oh, I love PJ. PJ's awesome.
Yep.
And we were joking around about some of that.
Yeah, that's great. Well, I'm glad that it's finally my turn.
Well, and it's about right time for that too, because for our listeners, guys, it's coming up, all right? End of September, beginning October, Thrive 2017. And we're going to talk more about that. But to help our listeners understand more about you, again, guys, you can find him at colehatter.com. You can find the event we're talking about at attendthrive.com. But when you go to the event, that's how I really got to learn more about you, Cole, hearing more of your backstory, hearing about how you are like me. We're former firefighters. I was in a wilderness world. You were the city structure world. But obviously some of your life path was a little adaptive and fluctuated due to some life experiences. And I didn't want to really give away too much of that because I can't share all of that the way you've shared it to us at your event. And would you mind kind of digging in a little bit of that for us, for our audience?
Yeah, sure. So, I mean, we're going way back now, probably junior high. I decided that when I grew up someday, I wanted to be a firefighter and started pursuing that career and was a firefighter. And then, like you said, I had some crazy experiences. I got into a car accident and was ejected from the car in that car accident and sustained some pretty painful and semi, I guess you'd say, debilitating injuries, right? Where I was in a wheelchair for a while, and I'm sitting in a chair now for those of you watching the video, but I'm healthy today, but I was in a wheelchair for a while and had to move back into my parents' house because I was obviously super, super hurt. And for the time being, it looked like firefighting was no longer going to be an option because in order to be a firefighter, you have to have perfect physical health. And for that season, I was learning how to walk again. And so I had to kind of pick a new career. And the reason I wanted to be a firefighter was because God's really put it on my heart to want to help people. And I thought that that'd be a fantastic way to make a living and give back. And so as an entrepreneur, I wanted to figure out how to do the same thing, how to make a living and give back. And through the 12 years it's been as an entrepreneur for me since that accident, I've started businesses and I've created what, you know, I'm sure we'll talk about here, are for purpose businesses that don't just make money, they make a difference. And so I was kind of thrust into entrepreneurship out of necessity that for that season, didn't know exactly how well I would heal physically and if firefighting was ever even going to be on the table or any career really. Because there's a lot of careers where take away your ability to walk, they're off the table, right? And so I knew that I would, and again, we knew that it was not going to be permanent paralysis. We knew that I would get some mobility back, whether it was 100% or partial or whatever, we were uncertain. And I'm, obviously I've had 100% recovery, but still I wanted to do something where I could just make money with my brain. And so for me, entrepreneurship made sense. And so that was kind of the beginning. And then this 12-year journey of making money and then losing everything in the recession and making money since, and you know, it's been a wild journey. We can talk as much of that story as you want, but that was kind of the beginning of that, I guess, transition from having a regular job as a firefighter to becoming an entrepreneur. And then through my 12-year journey of business, arriving at this for-purpose business model and then creating Thrive to teach other entrepreneurs how to do the same.
Yeah, and that's one thing that I could definitely speak to is for our listeners is that you could not find a shortage of purpose at your event. And I missed the very first year because I didn't know about your event until my boy, Michael O'Neill, the Solopreneur Hour man himself, happened to post up that he was going to be kind of like your maitre d' for last year's event. I was like, oh, I got to go out and support my boy, Mike. Check out this whole Thrive Make Money Matter thing. It sounds like a great, I mean, just the branding alone, because I'm a marketing guy. So that's my background is besides firefighting is, you know, helping people build brands and sales and marketing and online and all that. And it's like, dude, make money matter. Like that just makes you think right then and there. Like there's a lot of companies out there called Thrive. The Thrive word is being thrown around more and more, it seems these days too, I see online. So
totally. I mean, you know, and it's funny, and I know you're going to make a point, but I guess I've already interrupted you. So let me throw that out there.
Yeah.
Originally Thrive was going to be a one-off, and I actually have that conversation with my team a lot. So maybe you could give me some business advice in this podcast, but I would have never chosen the word Thrive because you can't trademark it and everybody uses it. Mm-hmm. There's the Thrive multi-level marketing supplement company. Mm-hmm. There's Ariana Huffington that's Thrive, and then there's Thrive Market. Those are the three. When I say that I own Thrive, people are like, oh my gosh, that supplement company. I'm like, no, that's that's something totally different. Or they're like, oh, that's where I buy my groceries, Thrive Market. I was like, no. So you can't own that word. And the reason originally that we did Thrive, it was just going to be a one-off to support a charity. It was an event I was throwing together to help raise funds for charity. And so I was like, oh, let's call it Thrive, you know, and I didn't really think about long-term. Now that it's become an annual event, we're going to do it for as long as we possibly can. In hindsight, I don't know that I would have use the word Thrive. I bet you I would have stuck with Make Money Matter, but something else. And so now the question is, the Thrive event is branded as Thrive. Everybody knows about Thrive. And so if I change the name, my fear is all the effort we've created of creating market awareness is gone. How hard is it to re-educate the world that Thrive has become something else? And so, you know, I sit on the fence of we're only in our third year. So is it early enough that we could change the name and maybe feel a little bit of a ripple effect, but ultimately go on for the next 50 years and be fine? Or do I just keep fighting the marketplace of trying to grab some type of a, you know, real estate, I guess you'd say, around that word Thrive and just, you know, fight my way tooth and nail to the top. So we'll see what happens.
You got a common tug of war because you guys just took action. That's what you did, right? First year, it's like, you know what? We're going to do this. We're going to make this happen. We're going to raise some money. We're going to make some purpose. And boom, you had such a successful event that it grew way beyond than you originally expected. So, but as far as brands, which is funny because literally on this show, we discuss health, business, and lifestyle. And a lot of times we talk about balancing them. Or in this case, you're talking about, man, like I never expected Thrive to really be the key word. Well, you have other keywords in your brand. And if this continues to grow, you may find that other words may come blooming out of this. Like you said, technically you could take the make money matter and tagline that. And next thing of the tagline ends up eclipsing its origins. And that becomes a new name for the event. I know in branding 101, they tell you that even online to this day, they say, you know, if you're going to do any kind of rebrand, most companies should be doing that on average at least every 7 years, depending on the industry. So there should be some level of like new touch, right? A new look to the logo or a new tagline or something. So you're still kind of young enough where it's not so huge,
right,
that you couldn't get away with it. But admittedly, how many other fun things we've spun off of it, man? We got the hashtag Thrive Tribe from last year's event. We were throwing that around like crazy. On your own website, you actually use Make Life Matter on your website, right, for Cole Hatter. Yeah, I don't know, man. Like that's, maybe you have to bring that up at this year's event. We'll have the tribe tell you what they think. So
yeah, that's true. Yeah, because from getting any type of, you know, market share, if you will, on the word Thrive, obviously it's noisy. There's the big ones are what I've mentioned. Those are the three biggest ones, but there's 2 trillion people using the word Thrive, like 2 trillion words, right? People. So bottom line is we'll see. Not a big problem, but we'll see.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, so did you have Make Life Matter before you created Make Money Matter? Like this as far as taglines?
Yes.
Okay.
Yep. Yeah. So there was a season, and I might revisit that, where I was going to be the make fill in the blank matter guy. My book that is unreleased to my publisher's unhappiness because I'm just holding on to it right now. I think I wrote the wrong book first. It's like my whole life story. It's very personal. And that's what I wrote. And then I was like, dang it, I should have written a book like on real estate investing or whatever first and then done this later. But bottom line is the book is called Make Life Matter. Mm-hmm. And then obviously Thrive is called Make Money Matter. And so the spinoff was going to be that I would create a brand where I'm the making things matter guy, you know? We'll see how that goes.
Well, just for our listeners, I've been having fun with the internet tonight. So YouTube has become a secondary benefit over the past 50 plus episodes, and we're sharing his websites right now. But again, as I hinted earlier, you guys can visit colehatter.com or check out attendthrive.com because the speaker lineup is pretty powerful. What he's talking about, I don't care if you use the tagline Make Money Matter or you throw in Make Life Matter. You're going to understand what both those taglines mean when you come to this event. It's that impactful. I go to a lot of conferences. I go to a lot of events. It's funny how you brought up the MLM company, Thrive. And one of my side hustles is I have a business with Isagenix since 2010. Mm-hmm. That's how Michael and I know each other. So it's just, everybody's got different hustles, different brands and everything else. So I just think it's cool though, that even though these other brands exist as Thrive, how cool is it that you've actually created something with purpose behind that, right? So yeah, Thrive Market's getting bigger, but you have a different piece of that brand. You have a different component. And that's how I look at it because lineup alone, you really rack in a crap load of speakers. I don't know how you track them all down.
Yeah, it's not easy. It takes a year. It takes 362 days to plan Thrive.
Yeah. And is the, because like literally I'm screen sharing it now. There's, you got Sean T, dude.
Yeah.
Who snagged out Sean T? Was that your wife?
No, actually. I'm in a mastermind and a couple that was there, two of the individuals, he actually married them. They're like best friends and he got his ordination and then he officiated their wedding. And so they're close. And they actually asked me like, would you be interested in having Sean? Because they know that obviously he's a big deal. I don't want to take anything away from his brand, but Thrive's a good thing for him from a PR standpoint. I mean, just so you guys know that are listening to this podcast, I get anywhere from 500 to 600 requests to speak at Thrive. If you open my Facebook, like 12 to 15 people a day, every day messaging me about why they deserve and should be at Thrive and why I'm an idiot for not asking them. And so and that's because speakers know that getting on the Thrive stage, you know, and I'm very blessed, is a good thing for their brand. It's an event that has a good message. It's a good audience. And the other speakers are freaking ballers. I mean, we have two billionaires speaking this year. So bottom line is they said, would you be interested in having Sean T speak? Because they wanted to help me out by getting another great speaker and then help him out by getting a huge stage. And it just worked out that he was available that weekend. It was, you know, mutually beneficial. And so, yeah, we worked it out and he's going to be there.
That's awesome. Well, I love you actually brought back some repeats too, man, because you got Ty Lopez was awesome. I still, because I actually, and again, I'm not sharing my video, but I have my Thinkific book in front of me that I was taking notes from last year's event. And I got my 10X sticker from Grant on the front of it. But I literally go through it just every once in a while and I read my highlights. I need to take the time to just sit down and write all of my notes out as a blog and just publish that. But, you know, I know how busy we all get. But in there, I have used Ty's psychology tests that he puts people through.
Right.
And again, to our listeners, guys, I've thrown it out there on a couple of past episodes. The guy's pretty extreme, but he makes sense. That's right. All I can say.
If you listen long enough, it makes sense.
It does. But I love the fact you brought on Lori Harder. Was that something that Michael helped get hooked up?
Same mastermind. She's actually in it. So same mastermind I was referencing a minute ago. Two attendees knew Sean T. Another attendee was Lori. So she and I actually sat right next to each other. And this is actually a cool story I could tell in 30 seconds.
Yeah.
We're sitting next to each other and we don't know who's who. And so I'm sitting next to her. She's sitting next to me. And we took a minute to introduce ourselves. And I said, yeah, I'm Cole Hatter. And then she's like, oh my gosh, do you have an event called Thrive? And I said, yes. Why? What's up? And she said that she was at a completely different event. And I don't remember the name. And that she was there as a speaker. And that a woman walked up to her and handed her a piece of paper and said, you have to reach out to this guy. You must know him. And on the piece of paper, it was Cole Hatter and my website, colehatter.com. So she said, okay. So she put it in her pocket. And then she told me she went home and taped that piece of paper that said Cole Hatter and colehatter.com on her computer monitor as somewhere, somehow I'll reach out to him because this woman says I must. And then we ended up sitting next to each other about 30 days later. So she's like, this is insane. Like literally 30 days ago, someone wrote your name down on your website down on a piece of paper and gave it to me. It's as I sit here talking to you, still taped on my monitor. And now here you are. So I was like, wow, apparently we were definitely supposed to meet. So that was the story behind Lori. And so asked her to speak. And of course she's going to bring tremendous value.
Well, that's powerful too, because I've talked about this in my show a lot too. Like I love to fuel people and fire people up, and I'm a huge networker like you are. And it's like, I tell people all the time, you don't network just to, you know, increase your friends list on Facebook. I mean, this is, you never know how these circles are going to overlap and help feed each other's, he used to say mastermind groups, man. Like one mastermind group may all of a sudden fuel another mastermind group. You never know where it's going to go. So that's why it helps just to, you know, reach out and say, you know what? I know somebody that could benefit that. Like I know for a fact, I reached out to, I think it was in our Facebook group or for Thrive, but I remember sending this on to you, but I met thanks to Rick Brocchini. He got me hooked up after I had him on the show with Brian Smith, the founder of UGG Boots. Yep. And yep. I've had Brian Smith on the podcast already too. And Brian has been exponentially growing his speaking career since selling the company 15 years ago. And I'm sure you probably know Brian somehow through
all right, yeah. Through same guy, through Rich, was a couple of email intros and phone calls. And then it's funny, speaking of masterminds, Brian was in a different one. So I'm in two masterminds, and just a random people you're pulling out of thin air are all related to masterminds. So I guess the emphasis could be of this talk so far, go into a mastermind, but a different one who's actually Jason Gaynard. If you lower your mouse two rows and over to the right, Jason Gaynard, who's on the third row all the way to the right, he has a mastermind, that guy right there. Yep.
Yep.
He has a mastermind called Mastermind Talks. And at his mastermind, at Jason's mastermind, I actually met Brian of UGG Boots, who founded it. And so, yeah, cool guy.
Yeah, he's a very cool guy. I love the fact he's like, I think he's in his 60s and he's still surfing. And in the wintertime, he still snowboards. And I'm like, that's me, man. Like, I'm the ski racing, mountain biking, skydiving, Spartan race running guy. Like, I love telling people, like, get out, meet people, stay active, live your life. You know, it's okay. One thing I took away from last year is, I could personally admit to you as one of my influencers now, thanks to that event, I tell people all the time, like, you know what? People see what I do online and social media and they think, oh, Scott's this crazy adrenaline junkie, you know, former firefighter. You know, I served as a hotshot out west. So I was, you know, playing with the big dogs and it was a humbling experience. Like literally this Saturday, so I'm sure you've being out west, you know about the Hotshots 19 from Arizona who had fallen in 2013. So I knew 17 of them because I fought alongside of those on a nearby hotshot crew 2010 and 2011 after I left the corporate world. So this Saturday is the big event where CrossFit as an organization recognizes Hotshots 19 as a hero's workout around the world. And then locally here in Pennsylvania, I started, ever since they passed away, I started doing my own local version of that here. So I run my own, you know, charity workout this weekend. So it's
right on, man.
But it's like, that's what this is about. And I'm always trying to get through this to people that you don't need to be a millionaire, billionaire influencer yet. You can create change and create purpose and alignment with what you're doing. And
totally.
That's one of the biggest things that I took out of your entire event is that it doesn't matter what level you're at. Everybody's at a different place in the timeline. We can all find a way to align with purpose. And how do you get through to people with that besides having a great event?
Yeah. So what I have found is a lot of people have awesome hearts and they have big things they want to do with their life. But for a lot of people, they say, you know, oh, I'll arrive at the place someday. Well, that will work. I'll be rich enough or like, I'll hit the lotto or, you know, something will happen where they feel like there's a number, a magic number in their bank account or some life experience that will make them ready to step into the shoes of who they feel they're meant to be. And unfortunately for most people, you don't get there because it's some arbitrary, ambiguous, like there isn't a number. Right. And so, you know, I learned this the hard way, by the way, I'm speaking from my own experience. My original idea of how I was going to give back was the Bill Gates, Warren Buffett method. I was like, okay, I'm going to just put my head down and focus on business. And I'm going to get so rich in business that I'll eventually wake up one morning and realize, oh, I'm rich. And oh, I don't have to work anymore. And then I'd spend the rest of my life giving back. But what is rich and what's enough? And when is, you know what I'm saying? So, So I fell victim to that of, man, I want to change the world, but it takes money to change the world. So I'm going to go just not change the world for now. Focus on becoming a multi-millionaire. And when I have gazillions of dollars coming out of my ears, then I'll stop, become a philanthropist, start a foundation, and just give my money away the rest of my life. It didn't happen for me. As a matter of fact, as I started making money, then I lost it all, went back to zero in 2008 in the recession. So what I decided to do instead, and what I would encourage all the listeners to do, is create change and have purpose along the way. And so that's why I have these four purpose businesses that as they make money, they give back. So instead of having to make a bunch of money and then give it back, it's while I'm making my money, the giving back happens. And I would say live your life the same way. It's not, oh, once I get married, or oh, once I have children, or oh, once my children are out of the house and in college, or oh, once they're, it, there's always these dates that people give themselves. You know, once my kids are grown and the last one goes to college, then I'm gonna have nothing but free time, and then I'll give back and join a charity. Man, then the next thing's gonna happen, right? You know, then you'll have grandchildren around the corner. Now you're focusing on being a grandparent. So the point is, just do it now. And that's what I would tell anybody who's like waiting to be successful enough, or waiting for that thing to happen in their life where they finally have the ability to give back in the way they were born to. I would just say, stop that. That whole thought process is nonsense, and give back and do your thing now.
Well, and let's be real. For a lot of people, it is that mental barrier of nonsense. And I think any goal that we set, and it's funny, you're saying goal, and I was just paging back to my notes from the event last year. Jack Canfield, right? World-renowned author, Chicken Soup of the Soul, guys. Like, he spoke at Cole's event. And one of the biggest things that I wrote down from him was his BAG acronym, B-H-A-G, which is Big, Hairy, Audacious Goal. Well, Guess what? If you set big, hairy, audacious goals, you're going to have big roadblocks and speed bumps that you're going to have to jump over, pound through, like get through those mental barriers. And that's what we're dealing with, right?
Right. Totally. Yeah. And I think that's important. You know, the bigger the goal, if it was easy, here's what I'll say. If it was easy, everyone would do it. And so if it's a big, hairy, audacious goal, right, BAG, like Canfield shared, then there will be big, hairy obstacles in the way as well. And it's just, you know, we could talk about having a why or a purpose or a deeper cause behind your work beyond just making money. You know, there's actual science that shows that, but I think that people just have to decide, or I guess just remember, this is our one shot at life. You know, regardless of what you believe happens after life, whether you come back again or go to heaven or nothing at all and just die, cool. But regardless of what people's after this life experiences, we can all agree that we only get one shot at the life we're living, right? You True. Know, because I have this conversation with like Grant Cardone, who believes in reincarnation. He thinks he's coming back. So Grant and I just had this talk in LA maybe a month ago at his wife's dinner. His wife had a birthday and Grant invited me up there. And so he and I were having a conversation about, you know, how he's going to keep coming back forever. That's his belief. And I respect everyone's beliefs. And so he thinks that he's coming back again. You know, being born house of faith and being a Christian, I believe that this is my one shot at life, but then I'll have eternal life in heaven, right? So bottom line is, regardless of what our beliefs are, and then I have great friends who are agnostic and believe, hey, this is it, then you die, you feed the worms, and that's it. Cool. And I respect everyone's beliefs, but all of us agree that life on this earth, this time, is our one shot. What happens next, we can have a conversation around.
Sure.
But what I really want to emphasize to people that are listening to this is, this is your only at bat. You get to swing once. You don't get nine innings. This is your one shot, and this is our only chance. And so for me, I would recommend swinging for the fences, because it's either a home run or you go out swinging, but I wouldn't stand there and try to bunt your way to success or hope to be walked. You know, I mean, this metaphor, I could go on forever. Of baseball, you don't win a game by hoping to get walked. You know, you win a game by hitting base hits or home runs. And so you got to swing.
Well, and it's funny because you and I both are former firefighters. You chose, I love the way you explained your choice of trying to get into that. I chose it because I didn't know what I was doing, right? Like I was chasing the corporate dreams, right? Making more money, getting promoted, but I wasn't making money for the right reasons. And I think that's why I started feeling lost. I didn't have a purpose, right? Everybody's like, oh man, to be an entrepreneur, man, you got to have a real clear purpose. Well, guess what, guys? All right, the purposes change. Things modify as you get older. You may have a car accident. You may do this. You may do that. In the end, yes, we all should have purpose in our alignment, but your path is not always clear. And when I left to go do the wildland firefighting thing, I freaked out close friends, family, because they were like, dude, you're in your 30s already. Like, I was actually, like, the guys on my crew called me old guy. And I was like, dude, I'm 31, man. Like, I'm not old. Now, I'll be 40 next month. But the point is that I tell people, like, you have to take these risks. And that's what you and I are kind of hitting on here, man. If you, like, picture an 8-cylinder car and you're just firing that puppy up, you got to hit on all cylinders. Like, guys, like, if you're feeling trapped, you're feeling lost, start making changes. Start doing the things you're afraid of. Take the risks. Like, I told people, I've been telling people about Thrive since last year. And they're like, oh, well, I don't know, man. Like, you know, what if I want to get, you know, I don't know, the plane ticket, blah, 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 blah. And I'm like, guys, like, it's Vegas. I was like, first of all, Vegas does a great job with marketing and finding a way to make flights cheaper, hotels cheaper. Don't even worry about that. I was like, to be fair, I'm actually going to be probably saving money going to Vegas this year than San Diego.
Right. Well, for sure. Our room block for sure.
Yes.
Is cheaper too. Yeah. So this is for the attendees a lot less expensive. It's way more expensive for me. I'll throw that out there. San Diego was, was pennies compared to what I have to pay for Vegas. But on the reverse end, it's probably a third for the hotel stay and for airfare to Vegas than it is for San Diego. And like you said, that's crazy that for whatever reason, I don't know how Vegas Airport worked it out with the airlines, if they pay them some type of a annual something, but you book flights. Dude, I was in Vegas last weekend. My wife and I booked flights the day we left. Like, we're like, hey, are we doing this? Yeah, okay, let's do this. And that morning at like 6:30 a.m., I booked flights for an 11:30 a.m. flight and then a return. That was on Thursday and then a return on Sunday. Bro, round trip was like $270 per ticket.
Nice.
Round trip. It's like, how do you even do that? How do you sell me a ticket 5 hours before I'm getting on the plane and 4 days before I'm returning, round trip, $274 for all of our tickets? I mean, each ticket was $274, but that's what I paid for all of them. So
that's what I tell people all the time. And if anything, I mentioned this on a past episode. This year has gotten crazier because I bought my ticket last year. Like, okay, again, if you want to be smart with your money, take advantage of discounts when they come your way. Like, we're at the event. You threw it up there saying, hey, guys, early bird special. I was like, okay, one way to start committing to new goals is to commit a year ahead of time. So I bought the ticket, right? And then a good friend of mine had the cojones to say, hey, I'm going to go ahead and get married the same weekend. So I was like, dude, are you kidding me right now? And so now I am literally, his wedding is that Friday. So my fiance wants to go there and everything else. We're all close friends. I'm like, okay, here's what's going to go down. I have to go to Syracuse, New York now. I only live an hour north of Philadelphia. So I'm like sweet spot. I have Newark Airport and Philadelphia Airport for travel. Nope, can't do that because now I got to go 3 hours from here to Syracuse, New York to one of the Finger Lakes to go to this wedding. So I was like, all right, your ceremony's Friday night. Cool. I'm going to figure out some kind of rental car drop thing, go to either Syracuse or Rochester Airport, and then boom. Because, like, I don't care where I go, everybody wants to go to Vegas. So as we're just hinting out, I'm not worried about finding a flight to Vegas. That's not my issue. It's really just the logistics of me leaving the wedding early, getting to that said airport to take advantage of that sweet discounted rate to get to Vegas, and then I'll be fine. So I love a challenge.
Well, bro, I love your freaking attitude because I can't tell you how many emails I'm getting right now. Well, not a ton, but maybe two or three a week of someone's like, wedding came up. You know, I can't make it. Can I reassign my ticket to somebody else? Right. They're just like, you know, so someone got married that weekend or getting married. So can I issue this ticket to somebody else? And it's like, then there's you that's like, nope, I'm freaking, I'll walk to Vegas if I have to. So
I was pissed. Attitude. I was like, dude, my fiance is like, well, how come you don't want to go the whole weekend? All of our closest friends are there. And I said, listen, I appreciate that, but this was a commitment that I made to myself and me furthering my growth, you know, as an entrepreneur, my growth as a person. I was like, to me and to my fiance, I was like, I owe it to us to follow through on my goals. I was like, it's not my fault that they, I was like, you should be happy that I'm at least going to show up on Friday. I was like, actually going to bail the whole wedding.
All right. So let me ask you a question then. How important do you think a financial investment is on a commitment, like putting skin in the game?
Oh, hands down. I've had to learn
that. So for instance, like the super early bird, that was cheap. And so that wasn't a huge financial commitment, but I always have this conversation of like the gym, bro. I was working out today from 12 to 1:30 and I didn't get much sleep last night for whatever reason. Our 1.5-year-old just didn't want to sleep, but maybe she's teething. I don't know what it is. So I was exhausted. I'm in the red zone for Thrive of crunch time of getting everything ready. And I was like, dude, I don't even want to go. And so like at 11 o'clock, I was like an hour away from my workout. I was like, man, I'm not even going to show up. But I knew that I can't cancel day of. Otherwise, I get charged regardless. I do a one-on-one training. It's not like I'm going to the 24-hour fitness or something. Like my trainer was cleared his schedule from 12 to 1:30, and it's $150. It's $100 an hour. So for 90 minutes is $150. That's not a lot of money to me either, but I'm not kidding you. And this is like a story that's only 3 hours old. One of the deciding factors, other than I want to look shredded for Thrive and stuff, but one of the deciding factors was I don't want to just piss away $150. Like if I don't go, I'm not going to be bankrupt. Like I can afford to just waste $150, but it bothers me. So mm-hmm. I freaking got off the couch, put away my laptop, you know, paused work for a while and went and worked out. So the question is, how much more committed do you think people are when there's skin in the game financially?
Oh, hands down. I learned that when I started doing the whole Isogenics business on the side. Like originally I was just like the happy, you know, nutrition consumer guy, cause I was using it for the firefighting and I was a fitness nut and I'm a CrossFit coach, yada, yada, yada. And then I was like, okay, once I started understanding the, you know, being the, you know, starting to build a side business, like that's what helped get me more into that entrepreneurial mindset. And I'd understand that like, oh, well, dude, some of these 30-day programs are like, you know, $400, $500, $600. And people are like, oh my God, that's just so much money. And I was like, well, if you break it down by 30 days, that's either $20 a day, $14 a day, or $10 a day, depending on the three different tiers of the packages I work with, yada, yada, yada. And I said, I'll tell you right now, the people who put the skin in the game, who invest in the larger package, there's a larger financial commitment. I have seen tenfold more commitment, more follow through from those people because they spent the dough. So yeah, I backed it up 100%. That's why even though you gave us a great discount a year ago, I'm at a different level in my self-help these days. So it's like, yeah, a couple years ago, I would have been like, eh, it wasn't that much money. I could just walk away and not go. But I'm past that point now. I'm like, I owe it to myself. I committed to go to that event. So I'm not really fueling it based on the financials anymore. I'm fueling it on, hey, you already said yes. So you got to be a man of your word to yourself and you got to go to that event, right? Yeah. You got to own your, I mean, let's be real, own your shit.
Yeah.
And so I back you up 100%. Yeah. When people invest in an event or anything, they're gonna follow through, I would think. And me being in the fitness world, people are like, oh my God, it's like $150 a month to go to a CrossFit gym. I was like, yeah, but you're probably gonna go, aren't you? You're talking about $150 for one workout.
Yeah, every time. Yeah, it's $100 for that's personal one-on-one training. So I also do CrossFit. I'm a CrossFitter for the last 4 years probably.
Yeah.
But since my wife did her bikini contest, we both changed gyms for the foreseeable future, so that she could have a one-on-one trainer literally teaching her how to win her contest. And she did, by the way. She went off to win first place.
She crushed it, man. I saw that.
Oh, first place, right? And then afterwards, it's like, what do we do now? You know, get all fatter and just sit around. So we've continued the training since. And so I was like, all right, babe, if you're doing it, I am too. But yeah, for one-on-one personal training, it's $100 an hour. And she does 2 hours each time. I do 90 minutes. So every single time my wife shows up to the gym, she's dropping $200. Every time I show up, it's 150. And I remember thinking that when I first did CrossFit was in the recession, I was in hard times and I was like, mine's 175 a month. I'm like, oh my gosh, $175 a month. That's huge. Now I'm doing that 5 days a week.
Yeah.
Again, it's, you know, it's perspective. I don't say that to be like, ooh, money bags. It's just commitment. And no,
you're at a different place on the timeline.
I'm in the best shape of my life. I'm at like 8.8% body fat. My goal was to be at 7.9 or lower by Thrive. I started at 16.9. I'll have it.
Solid. Wait, you were at 16?
Yeah, bro. 16.9, basically 17, dude. It's pregnancy weight, man. It's a real thing. Your wife gets pregnant and all of a sudden the diet changes and I'm not going to CrossFit by myself. My CrossFit partner is pregnant, right? So okay. Bottom line is, dude, I got out of control. This was like in April when we started. I started May because I was at my mastermind in April. And so in May I started. But yeah, bro, as of call it Cinco de Mayo, I was 16.9 and I will walk out on Thrive's stage at 7.9 or less. I said, I will be below 8. I'll cut my body fat by half is what I said. So 16 down to 8, 16.9 down to 8. And I'm at 8 now and change. And I'll be at 7.9.
Hey, what we said earlier, man, Jack said it best, big, hairy, audacious goals. I mean, and it's about, and that's the other thing I tell people too. You're talking about like getting people to commit to things and having a financial investment, right? There's also like when you set your goals, you got to set them high Because if you set your goal at like 50% of what you know you're capable of potentially doing, then you may only get 30% of that. So I'm going to set my goal at 110, 115% because I want to come in at worst case scenario. I don't get all of that. I'll still come in at 85, 90% success rate, right? So I didn't hit the full hundo, but I definitely over-delivered to myself and whatever I'm working on because I didn't set low, boring goals. And people do this all the time. It drives me nuts. So
yeah, totally.
But I agree with you because I've actually, I actually took a little break. I wasn't taking on any new coaching clients. And because I was figuring that out, I had to remind myself, like, you know, what is my time worth? And then what is it worth to other people? And I also, and then like every once in a while when I would discount somebody, I would get a discounted consumer, if that would make sense. They got lazy. They weren't as invested. And I actually basically devalued myself. So it's like, what am I doing, man? What am I doing?
I'll say that same thing about Thrive, and I don't say this to hurt anyone's feeling, but I'll imagine we probably have had 15 to 20 people say they can't come, who like you bought last year. And to give them credit, I'm not knocking anybody. Last year when I opened up tickets for Thrive, we didn't know what date, city, or anything, right? So
right.
I was like, hey, Thrive's gonna happen. Who wants a ticket? And it's not in San Diego, it's in Vegas. So these people are like, oh, you know, I bought last year. I get that. But 100% of the people that are asking to change their tickets paid the least amount. The ones that spent more, I think, are more financially invested and they're just blocking that weekend or more committed. I don't know what it is. So there is something to be said about your higher paying clients having commitment. And again, and I know you agree with this, there's nothing away. Like someone listening to this might say, well, Cole, I don't have a lot of money, but I have a ton of commitment. You know, this is definitely a generalization, obviously. Because I remember when I was absolutely broke and freaking hungry, you know, I would have been committed having only paid for the lowest ticket price too. So I get that. But as a general sense, the more money you have in, the more you're going to push yourself to perform because you got to get your money back. You got to get your money's worth.
I completely agree with that. And I will tell you to break that that code, I love being transparent to our listeners. Guys, I'm one of those general admission ticket people and I'm still manning up and going. Like I didn't know what to expect this year. I had a lot of business stuff happening. I squeezed in last year's Thrive. So I was like, you know what? I just want to commit to commit. I'll throw in, I can always upgrade later, right? I don't believe in downgrading. I only believe in upgrading.
So
I'm one of your general ticket holders and I'm not backing out. If anything, I'm actually probably working harder than some of these other people with this whole wedding debacle. And I was like, I don't care. I was like, that's the point. It's like you, and I think something I try and teach our listeners, and you can probably back this up, what we're talking about is like, guys, it's okay if you're not at that mental place that Cole and I are at. Like Cole is at a different financial place, for example, than I'm at, right? I'm still working that part of the timeline, but we've also, him and I think can agree that we've put in a lot of reps on the mental game. And
totally.
That is an absolute necessity. Mentality and mental reps have come up on this show countless times, and it's huge. And that's a big takeaway from your event too. Like most of your speakers, like usually my brain's fried and I got to walk out and go hit the bulletproof coffee table just to kind of like, that was there last year.
They'll be back this year, by the way. They'll be there.
All right. That's my boys. I love it. I stood on the vibration table just to kind of like shake it all out of me and go back in with a fresh mindset because it was mind-blowing. That's why I still have this journal because I also believe in the old school mentality of, hey, man, when you write it down, you can memorize things better. And so I'm old school that way. I was handwriting everything. Some people, they're typing on iPads and stuff. I'm like, nope, I'm just going to write it all down. So there's just so much to take away from your event, bro.
Right on, man. Well, I'm glad that it was worth it for you.
Yeah, I can't preach enough good stuff. So, but I'm excited for this book thing, though, man. So I guess, when are you going to give in to the publisher? Or are you going to work on another book first?
Yeah, I don't know. I actually need to call him. But so we'll see. I just, like I said, two things. Number one, I wrote that book in 2014 and edited it through 2015. So part of it is my life has changed so much. Like that book was written before I even thought I'd do Thrive, that I feel like some of the there's more to the story now. So some stuff needs to be added to it and maybe some stuff needs to be taken away just
or you because create no two volumes. Real. You have a Make Life Matter volume and a Make Money Matter volume.
Yeah, maybe. And so that's part of it is I just don't want to go back through the work of updating it because it's now it's 3 years old, right? That's part of it. The other part of it is it's obviously very personal. And I wrote it as not a memoir, but it's a, I don't know what you'd call it. It's nonfiction. It's not a business. It's not self-help. It might be called self-help. but it's all around my personal life experiences of almost dying a couple of times and losing people that were important to me. And
yeah, you lost your friends.
How these absolutely insane, unexplainable life circumstances continued to happen to me. And through each experience, I kept learning the same lessons. So the book's kind of like, hey, don't almost die and don't have to lose people in your life to learn what I learned. You can just read this book and learn it without having to go through absolute devastation like I did. So maybe you call that self-help. I'm sharing in this book, I share my personal story and experiences, because when I sit and tell my whole story, which we just barely got started earlier, everyone's reply is one of two things. Either A, you need to write a book, or B, they need to make a movie about you. That's what I hear every time someone gets my full story. So I was like, screw it, I'll do that. So I'm writing a book about my life experiences, but instead of it just being an autobiography style or memoir style, it's and here's the lesson I learned and what you can do about this. So it's more educational than just storytelling.
Yeah, you're giving background and then action items, which is helpful. That's like a self-help book, basically. Memoir.
Yeah, well, that's exactly what it is. So I'm just hanging on to it because the stories that I share are very personal, and I don't know. So we'll see. Maybe for Thrive 4, even though, so my publisher was hammering me all summer long to get it done so that I could sell it at Thrive 3, which is in 35 days from this recording. Maybe Thrive 4. Maybe in a year I'll be ready.
Wow. Well, I could tell you, I've already had people starting to tell me the same thing, not at your level, because I've heard this story to our listeners, guys, like him losing friends, everything else. Like, that's a whole other level. I'm sure you'll probably share that with new attendees at Thrive this year. But when you have just a very unique and different perspective, people do want to read it or listen to it or follow it. And I've had people tell me recently, like, oh, now that the show has grown and people are hearing more about me, like, dude, you got to write a book about the whole life going from, you know, farm kid to corporate guy to firefighter to entrepreneur. And I'm like, yeah, that's like you said. I'm like, I'll figure that out.
Right.
I gotta find time for that too. So I'm sure writing a book is, well, you've already done it once, but I was like, I don't know if I can pull that off. That's a lot of work. I gotta find a big pocket in my life to really commit to something like that. And because if I'm gonna do it, I want to do it right, like you. I don't like the half-ass things. I gotta go all in. So
totally.
But
totally.
Well, listen, man. You've taken time out of your day. It's been a while. Just catching up. I want to make sure I give you your day back. Plus, I've got another show coming up. So, dude, I'm so excited. A little bit over than a month. Actually, when this show airs, I'm going to bump this up in line. I'm going to air it this Friday. So that way there's just more exposure to help people find Thrive and hopefully get more people coming to this powerful event.
I appreciate that, bro.
Hey, it's Thrive Tribe, brother.
Amen.
So to our listeners, I give our co-hosts the final word of the show. And since we didn't really dig into a lot of your backdrop, but I know there's a lot of powerful things that you've taught a lot of people that you've learned yourself. So I give people the final word. It could be your opportunity to give something motivational, inspirational, whatever you want to leave behind to our listeners. So that way, if they forget everything else we talked about, except they're not allowed to forget the attendthrive.com URL. Besides that, you know, what would you want to leave behind to our listeners about everything you've been learned or doing in life?
I'll just take what we were already talking about one step further. So a quick reminder, this is our one at bat, right? Let's bring that conversation back up again real quickly, that this is it. This is what you've got. And I always say that your net worth has nothing to do with your human worth. Having more money does not make you a better person. However, it gives you more options. So my final parting thought is, knowing that this is our only chance at life, and guessing that you, the listener, probably want to do something meaningful with the life you have, I would make the argument to go start a business, to make it as lucrative and profitable as you possibly can, to live your dream life, but with your abundance and your leftovers financially, to make your money matter, to accelerate your cause. Go out there, change the world. And again, you know, the greatest gift we can give anybody is our time. And by having more money does, again, not make you a better person, but it gives you more options to be who you're meant to be. So final parting words, go out there, make a ton of money, make it matter. Let that fuel your cause, your dream, your mission, and start a for-purpose business to change the world instead of a nonprofit.
I love it, brother. Well, hang tight. I'll give you a proper goodbye once we end the podcast. But again, to our listeners, guys, that is Cole Hatter, all right? Founder of Thrive Make Money Matter. Check him out at colehatter.com, at 10thrive.com. Again, we got the event coming up in Vegas. Join us, man. If you, my listeners, have not met me yet virtually online, you've never met Cole, come out and hang. It is a powerful event. He's left you with some powerful words today. Again, this is what we're all about. We're here to fuel your health, your business, your lifestyle. So keep living the fired up epic life. And we'll talk to you guys again soon. Hey there, Live the Fuel fans. Quick commercial break. Before we close out the episode, just wanted to give you some extra tips and tricks before we send you on your way. So again, thank you again for listening to the Live the Fuel show. I hope you got a lot out of this recent episode. More importantly, please subscribe to this show if you haven't subscribed yet. Stay in touch. Get me some feedback. Submit a review on iTunes or Stitcher. And get us the voice of you, the listener, so we can build this content back into the show and make sure that I'm actually taking you, the listener, into this design and future as Live the Fuel grows. So again, subscribe, submit a review, stay in touch. Heck, on that point, go visit livethefueltank.com. Livethefueltank.com. That will take you to the link to our private Facebook group community where you can join and I can stay more in touch with you going forward outside of the podcast world. All right, last quick little piece here for you guys, some extra value. One, go to livethefuel.com main page. You'll see on there we have our free resources guide. If you are looking for free content and not having to pay for it, consider getting on my email list. You click on the button, send me my copy, get your Super Sevens resources guide. There's over 21 of my favorite online resources that I've built into this little electronic guide for you guys. There's no cost. It'll just be emailed to you just by hopping on my email. Again, just thank you for listening. I want to give you some value. Second piece of my little extra nuggets of knowledge, if you want to call it this, is go to the resources section on the site. In there, I have three columns, health, business, lifestyle. And two, right off the bat, that I want to make sure you guys are taking advantage of is number one, eatpillynuts.com. And number two, villacapelli.com. Their logos are on the site. You got a big bowl of nuts there. And you got a cool big V, Power V logo. Both of those, if you use the discount code FUEL, F-U-E-L, you will get 10% off at checkout. So take advantage of that, please, and thank you. And more importantly, there's other companies linked on there. My nutritional and health alignment with Isagenix since 2010. The Pure Vitamin Club company for their kick-ass magnesium B12 and an awesome multi-cap. There's some additional business resources on there. Number one, Singularis IT. I go mountain biking and road cycling with the founder. This is a legitimate IT company. I don't care where you are in the world, you can use their services. We're talking about serious white glove level services. I've moved all of my IT solutions over to them and I outsource them regularly for any future and onboarding clients down the road. And lastly, but not leastly, David Studio. If you have no clue who this guy is, guess what? He is my new audio engineer. This is the guy I've been having making it happen behind the scenes. I found him through the Fiverr world. So if you search for David, D-A-V-I-D, Studio on Fiverr, you can track this guy down. But guess what? He's also on the Upwork platform. He's on the People Per Hour platform. You can search for him through his real name. I've never literally physically met this guy or talked to him in person. We have been just met through the online world. But if you search for E-M-I-N, that's I believe pronounced Emin, and Fikic, which is F as in Frank, I-K-I-C, you can search for him in Upwork, People Per Hour. Oh, more importantly, just go to Fiverr like I did. But if you are a podcaster or somebody just looking to get quality audio engineering, this is your guy. So again, guys, I'll let you get back to your day. Thanks again for listening to Live the Fuel. We'll talk to you guys again soon.
Thank you for listening to Live the Fuel. Visit us at livethefuel.com. Stay connected on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and more at Live the Fuel. Live the fired up epic life. Hashtag Live the Fuel.